Hello and welcome to Insights, the CAE podcast. Hello and welcome to the latest podcast from CAE. This week it's with Fiona Moorhead, Digital Preservation Manager at the Tate. Just some fantastic insights, really good conversation, so I hope you enjoy. So Fiona, thanks for joining us. Really kind to cut out the time. As ever, we're in this sort of period of lockdown, so sharing a call via the phone, so I'm hoping the sound quality is going to work out for us both. But really, really keen to hear about your new role at the Tate and some of the work you're hoping to do.
Sure. So I am the Digital Preservation Manager at Tate, and I'm very new in the role. So I've been here for around 2 months now, and I'm still sort of learning the ropes, but really excited to be working for such an interesting organisation at a really fascinating period of time, as we've got a number of projects underway to improve how we're managing and preserving our digital collection items and associated digital assets. So to give you a bit of a background about me and where I come from and what my interest is in this area. So I've spent the majority of my career working in contemporary art museums, and I've also worked on the other side of the fence, working for a company making collection management software for museums in a training and support role. So I find myself thinking back across my career, and sometimes when you do that, it feels like a bit of a random mix of things, but I guess you could see a few threads throughout my career. One is that I'm really passionate about how museums care for our collections and provide access to collections. I'm really interested in the digital side of things, so technology, software development, and vendor and client relationships. I'm really interested in how cultural heritage organisations manage information as well, and so that's been a major thread. And I guess the final thing is thinking about how I share information with colleagues and other people in the sector. So I'm really interested in training and developing and bringing more people through in their careers in museums. And so thinking about the role at Tate, previous to working at Tate, I was at the Museum of New Zealand, and I saw the role come up as Digital Preservation Manager, and it was a really interesting role that combined a lot of the tasks and skills that I've developed in my career, and that was a major interest to me to pursue this role, obviously the Tate being such a worldwide leader in the art museum sector, and so it's a bit of a dream opportunity and definitely worthwhile packing up my life and moving across the other side of the world from New Zealand for it.
No, exciting times. I mean, you obviously mentioned then in terms of making, you know, sort of, I guess, digitising the assets you can. Do you think that the future is where we can start sharing museum collections in a more digitised format? So maybe when people can't travel to a museum, or I guess there's a huge archive museums hold that isn't necessarily on display all the time, it's a way of accessing that in a more fluid way?
I think that preservation and access are always, to me, two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
I think that online and digital access to our heritage collections is increasingly important, but I feel very strongly that it's never going to be a substitute for the experience, for instance, of being in a gallery setting and seeing an amazing painting, or moving around a really immersive contemporary art installation. But obviously, during times that we are unable to go to museums and galleries, we can very strongly see the benefit of having digitised content or having our museum and heritage collections available to the public from their homes, whether they're on the other side of the world or whether the museum doors are closed and they're unable to come in to view those collections. But very, very clearly, the feeling of preservation and access being things that are working together. So, you know, there's no point in preserving something just for the sake of preserving it. We need to think about why we're doing it, what kind of access can we provide both to staff within a museum or to the public as well.
So it's very much about complementing the physical, you know, the real experience, not replacing.
Absolutely.
So, one of the things I like about digital preservation and this sort of the whole heritage and cultural sort of market space is it just it feels good to be doing something that I think is protecting, you know, our, I guess our global heritage. Is that a motivating factor, or you just physically enjoy the art and the pieces you see and it's being involved in them?
I think a little bit of both, really. I came into working in the art museum world through a genuine love of art, particularly contemporary art. I really love sort of all art forms, but contemporary art is something that I feel particularly strongly about. You know, its themes, its aesthetics, its ideas are often really challenging and confronting and thought-provoking, and I think that was sort of my first step into this world. But I think the thing that has caught me for a longer period of time is the idea of the foreverness of museums, that, you know, our goal is really trying to collect these precious items and then care for them maybe forever, maybe in perpetuity, maybe for a shorter period of time, but, you know, we're really trying to care for these items and make sure that the next generation can access them as well.
No, that's a fantastic outlook. I mean, I think for those of us who are used to maybe what we might call traditional IT, IT life cycles are, say, 3 or 5 years. You know, it's the technology itself, when it comes to the end of its natural lifespan, it's renewed. I guess with digital preservation, I think the thing that fascinates me is you're looking into a strategy or an approach that has to last generations. You know, the data is the critical thing, so the IT itself, the infrastructure will change, will probably become obsolete over a period of time, but the data has to become sort of stay central and be critical for, you know, the future generations. Is that a big consideration? Is that quite a tough task?
Absolutely, it's a consideration, and I think it's something that can feel like a bit of a tightrope. You know, I think for anyone, the idea of forever is quite daunting.
Yeah, indeed.
And I think another way of thinking about it is thinking about the idea of stewardship for the next generation.
Yeah,
and so rather than thinking, I've got these digital files, I want to keep them for 1,000 years. a different way of thinking about it is, you know, I've got these digital files, how can I be the steward for these items to make sure that they last through until the next generation of technology that is arranging it, storing it, and providing access to it. And so there's a few different things that we think of in the world of digital preservation that can aid that. We think about what kind of documentation we can make around the decisions that we're making, just to ensure that people in the future know what we've done and why we've done it.
Yeah, understood.
We're really interested in working with standards, so we often have standards for metadata, standards for file types, things like that, just to ensure that we're working in a way that is fairly standardized and something that is will hopefully throw out relatively few surprises for people in the future. And I guess another thing is thinking about we really want to make minimal interventions to the assets that we're caring for, and in that way we're ensuring that there's maximum authenticity of those items into the future. I mean, that's just sort of scratching the surface of what we do, but I guess it all comes back to that idea of if you're thinking about the forever, you're probably not going to sleep at night, but if you're thinking about what can we do to care for these items for the next 5 to 10 years, with the idea that we'll be moving through into new generations of technology and storage over time, but just making sure that the decisions we're making now, we're not shooting ourselves in the foot, a little bit further down the line.
Yeah, I love the sense of stewardship. I think that's a fantastic phrase. And I take your point, actually. I say if the standards or the processes are common, as you say, at least in a future generation, we'll always be able to follow that process backwards to understand what was done and why it was done. I've never considered the point of ensuring nothing's changed. You know, we do traditionally with data ensure that, you know, data's true and its integrity is correct. But that sense of not interfering or changing potentially the image we may have recorded or similar. I guess it's an interesting point for us to look back in that direction, because again, technology wise, we just worry about technology operating in the right fashion. Thinking about the underpinning requirements is very important. I guess looking at the projects you have running at Tate, and like I say, I sort of feel Tate's quite at the forefront of some of this activity currently. What are those sort of drive, for the projects you're allowed to share anyway, what are sort of the driving factors of the projects that are coming up?
Sure. Well, the biggest one that we have running at the moment is moving to a new storage solution for our high-value digital assets. And so that's a project where we're looking to purchase and implement both a storage solution and the technology that sits on top of it that provides access and storage of metadata around those high-value digital assets. I'm very new in the role, so I can't tell you sort of the long story of the history of that project, but really when we think of our digital collections and associated assets, the size of our storage is increasing exponentially, and the complexities of having a really stable storage solution is something that is of paramount importance when we think of the value of our collection items. So, you know, many of them are contemporary artworks, but also the output of our photography teams who are photographing our art collections. So we really want something that is incredibly stable and can securely store our digital collection items, but also all of the assets that we're caring for, and to ensure that we can access and use those items. So that's sort of the biggest project that's underway at the moment. No. There's probably many others that I could talk about as well, but that maybe we'll leave it there.
Yeah, no, I've absolutely understood. I mean, say it's obviously a foundation of a process going forward. I mean, if somebody came to you just to ask for basic advice in terms of things to plan for digital preservation, would we come back to that it's about getting the process right, and it's about getting the documentation correct, and in many ways the IT is just there to fulfill, whether it be storage or to move physically, to ingest or to move the content around. It's the process bit around that's the most important.
Absolutely. So I think the critical thing about digital preservation is that you're never going to solve all your problems by just purchasing a piece of software. The human element is often the most important thing to consider. So it's really important to look at what policies you have in place, what strategy you have in place, and how those things relate to other policies and ways of doing things at your organisation. So for me, coming into this role at Tate, really the most critical thing and getting up to speed and understanding the organisation is to understand the wider context, to see how digital preservation fits into that, and start talking to people, finding out what's going on, and finding out what are some of the priorities for the organisation in that space. So certainly the technology is much less urgent in that way. So, you know, you really need to get the people side of things sorted out, the understanding of the organisation and a clear understanding of the policy and the strategy behind it. All of those need to be in place before you start thinking about software, technology, the stuff you can buy, etc., etc.
Yeah, no, understood. I say in many ways there's lots of options on that front, but like you say, I guess it's the strategy of the people and the strategy of the data that's always critical. There seems to me to be quite a building community within digital preservation as well now. We're kind of aware of Digital Preservation Coalition and others that are trying to sort of support the different institutions in sort of driving these sorts of projects. Do you sort of feel that sense of community? It feels to us as a sort of supplier that it's something where a lot of people are engaging to work together to sort of better understand the way forward.
Yes, yeah. I think that for me, coming from an art museum context, I'm frequently looking towards libraries and archives in particular. I think that they have a really sophisticated understanding of information management, and some of the best practice that we're seeing around the world is coming from the folks working in libraries and archives. But having said that, there are lots of museums and art galleries around the world who are doing really great things for digital preservation as well. I think that within the museum, within the entire GLAM sector, collaboration is really important. And so as someone working within the sector, I'm often looking at what other people are doing and forming those relationships and information sharing between organisations, because what we're doing, it's never unique. It's often closely related to things that are happening at other organisations, even though the details may differ slightly. So it's really important for us to have those really positive relationships and also to encourage collaboration. And I think that maybe for you as a vendor, it's something that you'll see more of as you continue to work with organisations in our sector. And I think in the future, and probably even now, there's lots of things happening where there are close collaborations when we're thinking of digital preservation. So we may be sharing open source solutions for managing our digital assets. We may be collaborating and sharing storage solutions. And certainly we're already collaborating a lot to share ideas and methodologies and ways of working.
Fantastic. And again, I think something else I picked up on what you said there as well, it's I often lean towards the preservation bit of the conversation, but obviously data management is critical as well. So it's actually the content management, the data management is a critical path towards digital preservation, because I guess you have to have the structure to reserve and to preserve ultimately.
Absolutely. So, you know, without the metadata around these assets, they're completely meaningless and completely useless to us. So when we're thinking of digital preservation, we're thinking of the digital files themselves, but also all of the metadata that surrounds them.
So I guess in that sense of nirvana, what do you think, where do you think the industry will improve to sort of support you next? Because again, like you say, you've I guess the route to ingest, or the software to help you ingest the assets, the ways to archive or manage the content and its structure is kind of coming. Obviously, repositories or storage exists. What do you think is the sort of the gap in terms of where the industry needs to help in terms of technology to support next steps?
Yeah, it's sort of a tricky one. I'll grab my crystal ball.
Yeah, sorry.
But I guess it can be a tricky thing to think of kind of global or cross-industry trends, because I think that when it comes down to it, different organisations have different priorities.
Yeah.
And there's no real one solution that's going to solve everyone's issues. I mean, certainly some people may want to use the access to their digital assets as a revenue stream, but then there's a pretty strong trend away from that model and a desire to open up access to our digital collections and digital assets as a public good.
I take your point though. As you say, different verticals or different parts of the industry will have a different ambition.
One thing I was reflecting a little bit on your question about, you know, both what does the future look like and what can a vendor offer when it comes to relationships with cultural heritage organisations. And I think one thing that does come to mind for me is that within the GLAM sector, so galleries, libraries, archives and museums, we tend to have really long-term relationships with vendors.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, the most critical thing when I'm working with a vendor is finding somebody who takes the time to understand what we do. And ideally, it's really great to work with people who care about what we do as cultural heritage organisations. And I think that that's almost the most critical thing when you're working with anyone on a project related to what museums and galleries, libraries and archives do. So just thinking about that idea of understanding why we collect things, why we preserve them, and that we have the desire to provide access to them is a really good starting point.
No, fantastic. I say, so demonstrating a true level of partnership and understanding. I think, again, lots of people often talk to, but it's obviously critical for the work you're doing. I think there, Fiona, I think that's been a really fantastic insight. I'm really, really grateful because I appreciate I've sort of put you on the spot a little bit for some to give us that sort of guidance and insight. So really, really grateful for your time today.
Oh, thanks very much. Pleasure to chat with you about it.
Thank you.